This is Digital Story Podcast number 946, May 7th, 2024. Today's theme is The Inspiration Battle, 5 Tips to Overcome the Blahs. I'm Derek Story. An Inner Circle member recently posted that he's been uninspired lately. Others chimed in that it happens to us all the time. And when it does, what can be done? This week I share 5 tips to overcome photographer's block, plus a very tempting offer for our podcast audience, and a peek at Peak 2 Search. All of this and more on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. So I think regardless if you're a writer, if you're a painter, if you're a photographer, any creative pursuit has its ups and downs. Just like life itself, right? Sometimes we have to work through the downs in order to get back to the ups. Photography, I think, though, is a little unique in the sense that if you are a writer and you have writer's block, then you're staring at a blank screen and nothing happens. If you're a photographer and you're suffering a creative low, you're taking pictures, you're looking at pictures, you just don't like what you see. It just feels dull, it feels boring, it feels like what you've done a million times. And that feeling is not fun, right? Because you go, gosh darn it, I have the camera I want, I have the lens that I want, I have the software that I want, I have a cool computer, but yet I'm just taking shots that feel like everyone else is taking or that I've been taking for years or whatever disappointment you may be feeling at the moment when you look at your images on the screen. You can get through this. I know this because I too have had to fight through it. So what I have for you right now are 5 tips to help get things moving again. Alrighty? Let's dig right in. First one, go back in time. So every photographer has a stash of old gear that's impossible to part with. But instead of letting it languish in the back of the closet, pull out that camera from 2014, charge its batteries, and wander outside. Then challenge yourself to make a great shot with a decade-old camera. Now, I'm not sure what it is about this technique that works so often, but it does. I think part of it is that you're pulling out something that at one time was your pride and joy, right? Otherwise, you would have gotten rid of it years ago. So it's something that you have a connection to, but it operates a little differently than what you have right now. It certainly has more limitations than what you're taking pictures with at the moment, most likely in the world of high ISO performance. So you're probably going to have to work with a little lower ISOs. The colors may be different. You may not have film simulations and stuff like that to play with. But yet, you're reunited with an old friend. And there's something about that, renewing that friendship again, that seems to stimulate the creative juices. And you get out there and you go, oh, I remember when I used this camera for this trip, or I remember doing that shoot with this camera. And these things kind of start coming back to you and you start thinking, oh yeah, you know, one thing that I used to do with this camera was this, or I used to do that, or I had really good results when I set it like this. And I think it starts firing some synapses in your brain that maybe had become a little docile with your new gear. Get out that older camera, your favorite older camera. Get one that you really like, one that you really appreciated. Go outside, maybe take a drive, you know, get out in some fresh scenery as well. Take a bunch of pictures with it. Trying to get the most out of that camera, that's part of the challenge, trying to get the most out of that camera that you can. Come back, look at them on your computer, and I bet you many times you'll go, wow, that's pretty good for a camera that's over a decade old, right? And you'd be kind of feeling good about looking at your images instead of disappointed. Give it a try. Go back in time. the next one, shoot a roll of film, I guess would take you back even farther, right? Nothing will help you appreciate your current mirrorless like revisiting an analog camera from your past. Instead of challenging yourself to capture a great shot like in tip number one, see if you can get a good shot out of a roll of 36. Doing this will activate parts of your brain that haven't been used in years. Now, we all know that film has far more limitations than today's digital camera. But sometimes having those limitations, those constraints, forces us to problem solve and think about picture taking in a different way. You know, so you go, okay, I have more constraints. How can I solve this problem? How can I get a good shot of this landscape? Or how can I photograph this urban setting, you know, or whatever it happens to be? And you're thinking, okay, now I know I can have both the shadows and the highlights here. I get to choose one or the other with film. What am I going to go with? Am I going to expose for the shadows? Am I going to expose for the highlights and let the shadows go really dark? What am I going to do? Somehow, when you start having a process like that, a dialogue like that going on in your head, there are little flickers again, little things start to spark, and you might not come away with a great shot with that roll of 36, but I think you will have activated parts of your brain that weren't being used with your current gear. And you may also come away with a shot that you like. Now, chances are on a roll of 36 with a film camera, there's only going to be one or two shots that you like. But the possibility is that it might be something that you really like and that you're proud of yourself, given all the constraints, to come away with an image that looks like this. Then you get that good feeling. And when you get that good feeling, then you can build on that momentum, regardless if you pick up your new camera again or if you shoot another roll with the film camera. So shooting a roll of film can also kind of jumpstart the creative process. Break out a vintage lens. There's something about looking at the world through a 40-year-old optic that summons our inner artist. One of my favorites for this exercise is the Nikkor 105mm AIS f2.5 lens that Steve McCurry made famous with his shot of the Afghan girl. And he used a Nikon FM2 for that shot. Every time I put that lens on one of my modern Nikons, I feel obligated to do it justice. There's something about, okay, here I have this classic lens on here that I know another photographer has made a great all-time image with. I must be able to do something with this lens as well. And vintage lenses, when we're using mirrorless cameras, really do present the world differently. They look different. When we review the images on the LCD, they even feel different. And certainly they look different when we review them on our high-resolution laptop screens. So maybe you don't want to go to all the trouble to shoot a roll of film and go through that process, but yet you want to have that vintage feel, or you want to experiment, or you want to be challenged by a lens that's optically a little bit different, or maybe even a lot of bit different than the lens that you have on there now. So really all you have to do is get an inexpensive adapter, and then you can adapt one of your favorite vintage lenses, or many of them, to a camera that you shoot with now. Now, another benefit, I think, that comes with this, at least it happens to me, is that now I'm using the camera, my modern camera, that I was having the doldrums with, but suddenly I'm feeling differently about that camera because of the vintage lens that's on it, the constraints, like for instance, you're not going to, most likely, not going to shoot in program mode. With that vintage lens on there, you're going to either have to shoot in manual exposure or aperture priority. Chances are very good you're not going to have autofocus, so you're going to have to manually focus. So now you're going to be thinking about, where do I focus? How much depth of field do I have based on the aperture? how, wow, this looks different through here than it does with any of my other lenses. It's sort of like energizing the camera that you already have by putting a lens on it that's 40, 50 years old. And there's something about that chemistry that can be quite good, quite magical. So my third tip is break out a vintage lens, get an adapter for it, put it on the camera that you're suffering the doldrums with right now, and then go back out there and shoot and see what happens. Tip number four, take a trip to Bizarro World. Just like the Seinfeld episode where Elaine's new friend is the exact opposite of Jerry, as are his friends the exact opposite of Kramer and George, and that was season 8, by the way, episode 3, go out and take pictures of a subject that you never tackle. If you're a landscape guy, go to the city. If you love macro, challenge yourself with panoramas. If you only photograph still lives, then set up a portrait session. By becoming a bizarro photographer, you will shake out the cobwebs and see the world with fresh eyes. Again, the key to this, or the underlying thing that's at work here, is that you have a new set of problems to solve. One of the things that I think that causes doldrums is that, okay, I'm a landscape photographer, I know how to shoot landscapes. All right, the sun's in this position, it's this time of day, I do this. Okay, now I break out a polarizer, now I put the polarizer away. You know, all those sort of things, and you're just sort of doing it by rote. It's almost like there's a checklist for, you know, the situation you do this. If you go to Bizarro World and you're shooting something completely opposite of what you normally do, you don't have that checklist, right? You don't have that, I know I do this now, and I know I do this now. You don't have that. So you have to go, okay, I've got this lens on here that I never use, and I'm getting close to the subject. Should I get a tripod, or can I hand hold this? Should I try focus stacking? I don't know. I've never tried focus stacking. Let me look it up and see how it works. You know, you're in this whole different situation that you're not accustomed to. And by having to problem solve, by having to, you know, get the shot that you're after, even though you don't really have any idea or you have a slight idea how to do it, then you get things going again. You get stuff going. And of course, the cool part about this is, again, you're using the camera that you normally use, but you're using it in a different way, in a completely opposite way that you normally would. When you get those good feelings and you start to do that problem solving, you're getting those good feelings with a camera that you had been kind of, well, you know, not suffering with, but definitely not moving the ball forward with. So taking a trip to Bizarro World, shooting something completely different than you normally shoot, can get things going again. And finally, my fifth tip, find a photo buddy. Now, I haven't talked about photo buddies for a long time. I used to talk about a lot more in the earlier days, but that was before we had the Inner Circle and all that kind of stuff going on, where, you know, now we have ways to communicate with each other, to hang out with other photographers. But a photo buddy is still very viable even in this modern age, because, and I see this on workshops, and having just come back from Sedona with that group of photographers, I was reminded of the value of a photo buddy. And again, you're out there, and I watch this, you know, guys will, they'll pair up with each other. They'll be off walking, and one guy will stop and shoot, and then the other guy will kind of look around, and then he'll go over and see what the guy's shooting, and all that kind of stuff. They have this dialogue while they're doing it. And then afterwards, when they're looking at the photos, and especially when we're sharing photos for the presentation, then, you know, the guy that was hanging out with the other guy's going, I was standing right there. That's a really cool shot. You know, and so there's this sort of thing that having another person really seems to stimulate or open your eyes to things that may have been right there all along, but you just didn't see it. Now, part of the photo buddy experience that I think is important is not only going out and taking pictures together, but also then comparing pictures afterwards. So you might want to break this up into 2 days, or you can do the second part online, or however you want to do it. But I think it's important that not only do you shoot together, but that you also share those images afterwards so that you can see each other's viewpoint, see the things that one person did that you might not have thought of. And then that kind of gets the creative process going for you. You go, wow, you know, I never thought of doing this sort of thing. I really like the results that you got doing it. Can you help me do it? Can you teach me how to do this as well? I'd love to learn it. So I think a photo buddy can be super valuable, especially opening our eyes to things that have been there all along that we just didn't see. So now I promise you, if you embrace one or more of these challenges, you will begin to feel the rise of inspiration as you climb out of your creative rut. Give it a try. Pick one, do it. Pick another one, do it. Get out there, have some fun, take some pictures, and get going, because we're coming into a great time of year for photography, and I want you at full speed as the world presents itself to us. The Inner Circle Membership Drive. This is the first time we've done this. I'm super stoked about it. All right, I'm just going to lay it all out here, and then I'll talk about it for a minute or two. I've been enjoying the Inner Circle experience so much this year, and that is true. I just can't help thinking that you would too, but I know how that is. There are certain things that we just never get around to doing, like joining the Inner Circle, right? So I thought I could help you with that, and I think you're really going to like this. For the next 2 weeks, we're having an Inner Circle membership drive. If you haven't joined us yet, all you have to do is click on the link in the show notes, and that'll take you directly to our Patreon page. And we also have the Patreon tile on all the pages of the digital story. Now, if you're not a member yet, you'll be able to scroll to about the middle of the page where it says choose your membership, right? Because you're not a member yet, it knows that. So you can choose your membership, click on pay annually. This is very important. That'll be right there. Click on pay annually. And I have this all written out in the show notes, word for word. Then click the join button. The annual membership is $54 a year. So we're talking about 54 bucks here. Here's the extra incentive that once I see you've joined the Inner Circle for a year, I'll send you a coupon code that will allow you to sign up for free your choice of the infrared workshop in June, or the printing workshop in August, or if I do another online workshop later on this year, that coupon code could be applied to that as well. That's $145 value for your $54 membership. You get the coupon code, you go to the workshop page, you choose which one of these workshops you want, infrared or printing. Go ahead, sign up, enter the coupon code, and it will be zero at checkout. Now, here's the key. This promotion is for annual memberships only. There's only one coupon code for one online workshop per paid membership. All right, so that's sort of the print in italics there. You will be a member, so you'll still receive all of the Inner Circle benefits, including access to our exclusive space on Derek's Story Online, which is really my motivation here, is that space and the activity that's going on there, that is like a photo buddy that's there 24/7, honestly. It's really cool. Plus, you're eligible for all the discounts for future online and in-person workshops, and you're helping to support our online community. Now, if you're an existing Inner Circle member, you can still benefit from the membership drive. All you have to do is switch from monthly payments to the annual payment of $54, and you'll also receive a coupon code for either online workshop. Even if you've left the Inner Circle and you want to rejoin us, the same offer applies. Now, the Inner Circle membership drive runs from May 7th, 2024, through May 22nd, 2024, roughly 2 weeks. Join us today and experience one of our online workshops. So I'm really excited about this for a couple reasons. One is, if you haven't done an online workshop with us, this is a great way to get you in there. And I think once you do one, you're going to go, I'm having a great time. I mean, these things, we meet once a week for a month. So there's 4 meetings. We have 2 sessions a day, and you can attend the session that works best for your time zone. They're recorded. So not only do you have the workshop experience itself, but you also have a video of each day. So you can review that, especially if there were conversations. You go, what did he say about that? I'd love to hear that again. So you have access to the videos indefinitely, and you have camaraderie, which I think is the greatest way not only to learn, but to have it stick, right? Because I'll be talking about something, and then someone else will build on it, and then someone else will present it from a different angle. And when all that happens, you just go, oh, I get it. I've always wondered how to do that. Now I get it. And then you go, oh, this is a live workshop. So then you can ask a follow-up question. You can go, you know, all right. So I've always wondered about this. So if I do this and this, but then I get this, what happens? And then we're right there, so we can answer you. So it's interactive. It's not like watching a training video that's only one way. This is a two-way street, and it's a lot of fun. So you can have this experience for the price of an annual membership, $54. Plus, you get all the benefits of the annual membership. Plus, you're helping support this community. I mean, I'm really excited about this, as you can tell. So anyway, all you have to do is just go to the show notes. You can click on the link, or you can click on the Patreon tile. Either way, follow the steps, which is basically signing up for an annual membership. I'll be notified when you do that. So I'll welcome you. I'll send you a greeting. I'll make sure I get you set up in Derek Story Online, and I will send you that coupon code so you can sign up for a workshop. This is something that I think is going to be terrific. It's going to infuse some energy, right? That's kind of what we're talking about today, right? Right? Kind of sparking up the old engine there. It's going to infuse some energy into the whole community. We're going to have some new faces come in, all that good stuff. If all the scenarios I laid out here doesn't apply to you, and you have a question, just send me an email, and we will figure it out. I want to make sure that if you want to participate in this membership drive, that you can. Just send an email to dstory, D as in Derek, dstory@gmail.com. Ask your question, and we'll take it from there. Forward to seeing you in our inner circle space, and I look forward to seeing you in one of our online workshops this year. Peek 2 search for Capture One Pro in Lightroom. So this is a new product from the folks at Peek 2. I've talked about Peek 2 before, and it's an ongoing, evolving application, set of technologies that I feel like is getting better every month. They're working really hard on it. And out there, there are 2 basic catalog managers that I appreciate. One is Peek 2 and the other is Mylio. And they're both really good. And they allow you to access multiple libraries or catalogs and search within them. And the search tools keep getting better and better. It's not just, you know, a text search tool. They're now incorporating AI into this. If you're an Aperture user, or if you were an Aperture user, I should say, I doubt anyone is an active Aperture user today. If you were an Aperture user and you want an easy way to look into those catalogs and find pictures, both Mylio and Peek 2 are helpful for that. I would say right now Mylio is a bit more evolved. It's a little further along. It's been around longer. Peek 2 is up and coming, and I'd say getting better all the time. And they both have free trials, so you can test them out. Now, what I'm going to talk about today is a new product from Peak 2 called Peak 2 Search, and it's available for both Capture One and Lightroom. And what's different about this, and I have it up on one of my computers right now so we can talk through it, is that up in the, this is for Mac only, I should say right now, this is for Mac only, is that up in the menu bar at the top with Peak 2 Search, you have the search itself. It's right up there. And when you click on it, it opens a window. And when you have that window open, then you can search for anything that's in the catalogs that have been indexed, whether they're Lightroom catalogs or Capture One catalogs. Now, unlike the regular Peak 2 that you can put all sorts of different catalogs into this application and search across them, Peak 2 Search is either for Capture One Pro or for Lightroom. Okay, it's right now anyway, it's for one or the other. So it asks you, okay, you have a couple options here. The software doesn't have to be open. Lightroom doesn't have to be open, or Capture One Pro doesn't have to be open. You can just click on the menu icon, get this search window, and you can either describe what you're looking for, search by prompt, or if you have an image, let's say on your desktop screen and you want to find other images like that, then you can search by image and just drag that image on there. And it will search into all the indexed sources. And that's the thing about this, right? Because it's difficult for us, especially when we've been working in Lightroom or Capture One Pro for a long time, chances are more than very good that we have multiple catalogs, right? So you can search within a catalog using the application, but searching across catalogs is always a bit of a challenge. And that's what this does. You index a source, a new catalog. In my case, I've got three Capture One catalogs indexed right now for running this test. So when I enter a search by prompt, then Peak 2 Search will look through all three of those catalogs I have indexed. So I don't have to open up one and search through it and then close it and then open up the next one, search through it and close it. And then I don't have to do that rigmarole. In fact, I don't even have to open the application at all. I just go to this menu icon, click on it, enter my prompt, and then Peak 2 Search will look into all of my Capture One Pro catalogs, or if I'm using the Lightroom version, all of my Lightroom catalogs. It will show you the results as thumbnails. If you want, then you can just click on a thumbnail and it will launch the application. It will open that particular catalog and it will take you to that picture. So then you can do your thing. If you actually want to use the shot, then that's very helpful. But if you just want to find out what you have, or you know what your options are, then you don't even have to open the application. You can just keep using search. So that's kind of the overview of how it works. It works with videos as well. So now I'm going to do a search by prompt here. And let's just do an easy one. Let's do a softball to start out with. So I'm going to do road. Hit road. And so then I have four results in one catalog, and it looks like I have 32 results in another catalog. So I can scroll through those results. Let's do see all in the one that I have 32. It shows you the first few and then click on see all. So I'm looking right here and I don't have any false positives. Okay. In every one of my shots, there's road. It's funny. It looks like one of those things where you have to, you know, click on all the stop signs in order to prove you're not a robot. Looks like a, okay. So in this case, I didn't get any false positives. What I don't know and what I've been testing is, but did it get all of the shots that were road? In other words, did it identify all of my road shots? And that part through my earlier testing was it didn't get them all, but it did give me a good sample of them. Let's do another one here. Let's enter female. Let's see what we get. Okay. I get 64 assets in one catalog, and then in another one, I get three assets. I'm going to do see all in the one catalog, and they're all one person, right? Identified. But I know I have more shots of women in that catalog. So I don't have any false positives, but I'm knowing. And I did this earlier, so I tested this, but I'm knowing it's not giving me everything that I have either. And I would say that that has been my biggest concern with this, is that it doesn't give me all the results. Now you can set tolerance. So I have the tolerance set for standard. You have three levels: close, standard, and tolerant. So I'm going to go from standard, which I have set to tolerant. And it does give me more results, but no new people. Let's see if I get any new people here. No, this gives me more shots of the same person. And then in the tolerance setting, I start to get some false positives, right? So I start to get, it looks like a tree trunk, right? I have a picture of my hand in front of a bush. Which I do for panels, right? I do that at the beginning of the panel and the end of the panel. I have a landscape scene. I have another shot of my hand. Oh, there, I got a new person. I'm just scrolling through these right now, talking in real time. Got a shot of a fern. And so when it's on tolerant, you do get more shots. I got a shot of my son on graduation day. Oh boy, he would not be thrilled with that search result at all. So you do get more results, which is good. And if you can live with the false positives that show up, going the tolerant way is probably a better way to go. That being said, I think you're going to get what I'm going to say here. I think you get what I'm driving at, which is, if you're the type of person that really wants super accurate results for this, and you're not satisfied with broad brush strokes, and you're not satisfied with false positives, then I think this might frustrate you because this is not perfect. Now, someday we may be perfect on all this stuff, but this is something that anyone who's tested AI search right now, whether it's on ones, Peak twos, even Mylios, all that stuff. We know that it is not perfect yet, and people who want perfect results would probably be frustrated by this. So that's something that you need to be aware of. However, if you find that its usefulness outweighs, some of the downsides, and knowing that the software is going to continue to evolve, well, then that's another matter altogether. So it's available for purchase now on the CYME website. I have a link to it in the show notes. There's a free 7-day trial, so you can try it out for free, see what you think, index a few of your catalogs, play with it, and see what you think. There's going to be really no harm done. It's easy to uninstall if you don't like it. If you do like it, you can get a 2-year subscription for $89. They say equivalent to $5.41 a month, $5.41, an annual subscription for $65, a monthly subscription for $9 a month, or unlimited license for $129. And they're very good about the unlimited licenses and that you still get all the updates. You're not like locked in time or anything like that. As the app evolves, your license is still good. And I really appreciate that about them. It's optimized for macOS Ventura. Peak 2 Search requires macOS 12 Monterey or later and can fully leverage Apple Silicon M1, M2, M3 chips. It is compatible with Capture One Pro from version 20. And it goes back a few versions in Lightroom as well. So, anyway, so that's Peak 2 Search. If it solves a problem for you, if you don't mind the not totally accurate results, if the convenience outweighs that, then I think it's really worth looking at. And I know this application is going to continue to evolve and get better over time. None of these solutions are perfect right now, but I feel like Peak 2, Mylio, and On1 are marching down a path that's going to keep getting us closer and closer to what we want as the months go by. All right, let's take care of our virtual camera club news. I want to get right to, we've already talked about Inner Circle, so I don't need to mention that again other than to thank our current Inner Circle members for supporting this community. I totally appreciate it. But I do want to acknowledge our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story, and tell you that I started some black and white printing from my shoot in Jerome, Arizona, my black and white shoot. And I'm telling you, these note cards are going to be fabulous. I was able to do a test run the other day, just see how some of these images printed. And it was so much fun. Now, if you like doing things like that, they have templates on the Red River Paper site for printing fine art greeting cards. So, you know, you just get the template, you download the template, drop in the picture. If you want to have blank on the inside, you can do that. If you want to have like your photo credit and some information about the shot on the back of the card, you can typeset that. I mean, it looks really nice, really professional. And they have the matching envelopes as well. And then if you really want to get fancy, you can get glassine sleeves so that you can put the note card with the picture out, have the envelope in there as well, and then put it all in a glassine sleeve and have that, which is particularly good if you want to sell your note cards. And you can also get boxes too for them. It's really fabulous, all the different stuff that you can get at the Red River site. And I'm not even, you know, tapping all the knowledge and information they have. But for instance, if you decide you want to do a project like fine art note cards, they have the tutorials for you. They have the templates for you. And they have all the components that you need to pull it off. All you need is the picture and an inkjet printer, and then everything else you can get from Red River Paper. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. They have a Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And a big thanks to them for sponsoring this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Lots of ground to cover for sure. Working on more great stuff for next week. Get out there, try something new, get those creative juices going, and then come back next Tuesday. See you then. Bye-bye now.